The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. A moment of sanity in a sea of madness. Katie Hopkins on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Very warm welcome to the Katie Hopkins Show live from the road this Thursday, the 1st of June. Coming up in the show today, we're going one level darker even than yesterday. We're going further down the coal mine of truth. I wanted to bring you an update right here live on the road from my latest speakeasy. And of course, my top three stories out of the UK today, including why pigs really do fly. You know what to do, good people? The TNT tribe, as we're now known, to the chat. Get chatting on tntradio.live, or here are the numbers to give me a call.
Our lines are open. From the US and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, you bet it is. And everybody is diving on the chat like the good tribe that you are. Good morning. Good morning, all fellow deplorable patriots. We're the new resistance against the new tyrannical slave system they're bringing in. We are the resistance. And as you'll know, and we're discussing this at the Underground Speakeasy that I was speaking at last night, we're talking about what uniform we might have as the resistance, because obviously I'm all about the aesthetic. So this could be a pencil skirt. I'm thinking the red beret, full LOLO. But, you know, for the new era, there's that. Good morning, tribe, everybody on here. Oh, my goodness, Ben is here. Thank the Lord. Our token tabbouleh munching vegan representative is present. Those were his words, not mine. Glorious token tabbouleh munching vegan, which is perfect. Because coming up in the show, I have a question specifically for our token vegan. And if we have our fugletarian, our vegetarian who's maybe is or isn't fugly, we need you as well. Because in my top three stories, I have a very specific question for vegans and vegetarians. And clearly, you represent all of us. You represent all vegans and all vegetarians. That's how it works on this show, the Katie Hopkins Show. We have a token lesbian. She represents all lesbians out there. And then we're going to aim to get one of each other person. So we need someone in a wheelchair. We need someone who's, we need to basically tick all of the woke criteria. And then we can always say, look, the tribe has its woke representatives. You know, they are with us. They are amongst us, you know. Buenos dias from Argentina, Catarina. That is hot right there. So, my darlings, let me give you an update because I feel like, you know, I don't want to like talk about myself. I do. I love talking about. No, I don't. I my own world too much because, of course, this is a breaking news radio show. But I do want to bring you this because I think it's so important to what we're trying to be. And as our tribe grows, and as our tribe is so glorious here at TNT, I think it's really important that I link us up with the tribe who are on the road. You know, one of these days, which will be great, we will do a TNT show live from a speakeasy, I'm hoping. You know, I'm hoping we could just maybe get the audio feed from the speakeasy and run that as a show here on TNT. That would be a great way of connecting our tribe on the road. So let me update you about the underground speakeasies here in the UK. So last night, so less than 12 hours ago, I was still on stage here at this underground speakeasy, just over 200, 250 people, all gathered together in a farm location, yet again. You know, it's the farms that we find ourselves at with a glorious venue. You know, this is not, we're not like in some back shed, although that would also be fine. This is a proper venue with a stage and lighting and equipment. My tech boys were there to help make sure we could all hear, a bar, the family working the bar, lots of young people in helping out, a real team effort, a vegan actually providing the food. So people who are really concerned for people's health and well-being and how we get ourselves away from the medical system and look after our own health. They provided the food, just glorious vegan foods. So you're getting the kind of picture of it. Lots of people bringing their trailers or vans or tents so that afterwards they could stay cheaply or for free. Lots of people looking at ways they're going to be able to live independently to the system in the very near future. So that's just the kind of background. So all of us in at this speakeasy, bear in mind there was never any formal advertisement for the event yet again, never any need to tell anybody else about the event, never any concerns with security or never any concerns with people trying to cancel it or some random trans person, you know, creating havoc. This is a community that is underground, that is fully networked and is networked away from social media or other means. So it's a private speakeasy network, hence the underground. So some important learnings from me from last night from the crowd. And the first is that what this is doing, this underground speakeasy network, so here at the farm or the other day at the off-grid location I was at in the West Country or the speakeasies in Mablethorpe or wherever, is that what this is doing is creating spaces. And where I'm able to get these events to happen and we get them to hold and no one finds out about them, but we test the mechanism of the thing, 250 people can show up, they can park, they can get food and drink, they can stay overnight, they can have a lovely time. It's creating a space that becomes a tested location for others. And what I'm trying to articulate is that because of the success of this moment, a slightly sort of more public side of a underground speakeasy, in a couple of months' time, this speakeasy is going to host another comedy evening with three different stand-ups who are going to come and use this space to help lift our side yet again. So the learning is that as I go about, you know, someone has to be at the kind of front end of this and do the difficult bit, which is, you know, make sure we can have a solution that's workable. Well, this is a workable space. And now more acts will be able to come. And in time, more people will be able to use this space. So we're creating new spaces with this underground speakeasy, which is brilliant. The other learning from last night, and it's one that I feel every single time, is no matter how much we laugh and no matter how much we have a lovely time, is there's always a lot of sadness. So there's always a lot of tears because of this mass injury event, that lockdown was a mass injury event. And so along with the laughter does go a lot of tears. And I think that's part of the healing process that we always see. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention that I think is really important is that last night a mother and father were there, and the mother stood up and said, look, you know, my son's here. This is his birthday present to come. And I want you to know that it's not just our age group. Young people are with us. And it's something that I say all the time, is that young people are with us. So this young man, 16-year-old, 6'2", 6'3", and you'll know that height is a big thing for me, stood up and faced the room of 250 people and took the microphone and spoke to the room. And I'd been really encouraging him, saying, you know, always know you're not alone. And, you know, the number of emails and things I get from young people saying that, you know, we're with you guys. I'm 16, I'm 17, I'm 19, but we're with you. And he turned around and faced the room and he said, you know what? I never feel alone. I'm 16, I'm doing my GCSEs, and I never feel alone because there's so many of us. And he said, me and my mates, I'm not alone at all. We're all with you. We all stand for what you're trying to stand for. And we're bringing up the next level on this. And it was a really strange moment because there's this 16-year-old kid, young man, telling me, you know, and I'm on stage and it's my speakeasy kind of gig. He's telling me that it's all right. Like, he's got this. And that holding out his hand to take the baton, you know, and he's the next thing to run with it. And boy, oh boy, is he in a better position to run with it than I'm ever going to be or we ever will be. 16-year-old, physically fit, super capable, agile, ready to go for the next period of his life, already wide awake, already wanting to get out on the road, learn skills, learn how to use the land, learn how to use a tractor, learn how to be amongst our people. But that was a real moment last night. And the crowd, you know, it was kind of overwhelming just to see this young man stand up and say, no, 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 we've got this. So I wanted to share all of that with you because I felt like it was really important for you to know that your tribe out here, we are, you know, I say it all the time, we're many. We really are. People on chat, so nice to hear something positive about vegans. We're bashed a bit on TNT. So are animal welfare advocates. Well, that's no good. We can't have people feeling bashed at all. You know, I don't want people bashed. You should be able to do exactly how you want to live your life and everybody else can make their own decisions. And that's a glorious thing. And that's why our representative vegans here and our representative fugletarians are so important. And our representative lesbian who says, hey, Katie can make jokes about rug munchers all she wants because straight black people can be ugly too. So this is why this space is so important. What an incredible young man. I bet his mum was super proud. She was, and his dad, and also they were just all excitable. And he was so glorious. And that was his birthday present, to come to a speakeasy. Like, what a cool guy. It was so good to hear 16 years old. Bless him. Yeah, exactly. Right. We are going to move on to my top three stories of the day. And this is where for story number, let me check, story number two. Yes, story number two is where I'm going to need our vegan and I'm going to need our fugletarian in particular. So story one, and the theme and the backdrop to this story is one of our favorite, I'm hoping, of the tribe, which is my world is getting smaller every day. Cue the music.
And my world keeps getting
And this, my friends, is a Canadian story. I can't help it. I can't help it. I love it. It's that you're with me everywhere I go. It's like being stalked by the World Economic Forum, isn't it? It's making our world smaller every day. So this, there's a number of Canadian themes in today's show, but this one is Canada is going to start printing warning labels directly on to cigarettes. Like, and they're calling this in a world first. The country's health agency announced new packaging will feature a warning on each cigarette. I kid you not, good people. I wish I could put pictures on the chat. Can I? I don't know if I can. Do go and look up a picture of the new packaging for Canadian cigarettes. Now, you'll know that I'm not in any way suggesting everyone takes up smoking. I fundamentally believe it's a pleasure of life. I fundamentally believe there is some nostalgic pleasure from a sneaky cigarette. And I fundamentally support everybody's right to do what the hell they want with their lives, including kill themselves. And I still believe we should have places where people can smoke indoors and have a drink, the old smoking pubs. You could choose not to go into it. But if you choose to, why shouldn't you still have the space? Okay, so the world is getting smaller. The new packaging, I am not joking, on every cigarette. On every cigarette. Every cigarette will have a warning now. So as you're smoking, cigarettes cause cancer, right? Another cigarette in your packet will say, poison in every puff. And another cigarette will say cigarettes cause impotence. The regulation will come into effect on the 1st of August, Health Canada says. It's part of an effort to reduce tobacco use in Canada to less than 5% by 2035. For God's sake! They're calling this change a bold step. I call it making our world smaller every day. And you know what? The solution to this, as I see it, is to smoke your cigarettes faster. Because look here, yeah, cigarettes and beer is a match made in heaven. You see, I feel that's our vegan speaking. You see, this man knows stuff. He knows stuff. He knows stuff about health. He knows how we're going to get through this madness together. I feel the same way about red wine. Red wine, late summer nights and a cigarette, no? But here's the solution, people, because this is the tribe. And one of the things a tribe is, oh, he no longer smokes. Okay, well, well done. You're saving yourself, I'm sure. But the thing about the tribe is we're going to work on workarounds. And the workarounds to this is that you smoke faster, right? Because if the warning label on the cigarette says cigarettes cause cancer, then the quicker you smoke that cigarette and you get rid of the cancer bit, because you're that's an impression of me smoking. I don't know why. It doesn't sound like that at all, I'm sure. But the quicker you smoke that thing, the quicker you're going to get rid of the bit that says cancer. And you're going to be left with just cigarettes cause, aren't you? And then if you smoke a bit more, just cigarettes. And it is a cigarette, so you're fine with that. So my workaround, Canadian government trying to make your life smaller by saying you're not even allowed one of the life's remaining pleasures if indeed you're a smoker and that's your choice, fair play, and you pay the taxes on it, so hello, and you purchase them yourself and your taxes are paying for your healthcare later, is that if you smoke your cigarettes faster, then you get rid of the warning bit because the cancer bit gets burnt off. Although I suppose poison in every puff is different because you'd have to smoke all the way back to the poison before you got rid of the messaging. Anyway, that's my top one story of the day. When we come back after this incredibly short break, that's when I'm going to need our vegan, that's when I'm going to need our fugletarian, and that's when we're going to talk about the facts that pigs really are going to fly. So go nowhere, good people, apart from to the chat, which is tntradio.live. There you will find your tribe. And there you will find your tribe with answers, solutions, or Suzanne yesterday with a potato gratin and steer that she slaughtered on her own farm. So go nowhere. I'll be right back after this very short break. My name is Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
I don't know if you saw the latest Reuters reporting.
Yes, with the surveillance camera.
Yes, yes. I just commented, that's a really weird photo for Chinese spaceship. It's just a Chinese flag and a surveillance camera. It has nothing to do with our article whatsoever. But I mean, they're making it so blatant now. Now everybody's calling them out on their propaganda. What I think they're doing, you know, how a lot of the phone scams, they're really, really, I mean, it's very crude. People can tell right away they're scams. So I always wonder why those phone scams are so obvious. Who falls for this crap? The people telling me this is actually, there's a strategy behind that. The whole point of the phone scam is to weed out the high intelligence people. You know, only the people who are dumb enough to fall for the trap that are easy to manipulate to give them money. So I think that's how Reuters work nowadays.
We should troll them by doing similar parody articles of like Chinese restaurants and have a photograph of a dog.
Oh shit, people will believe that though. That's the thing, people will believe that.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Like Bob Marley said,
get up, stand up, stand up. or you're right.
From big tech censorship to calling out government tyranny, TNT Radio has the guts to say what you're thinking and gives you the platform to be heard. Call the open line anytime in the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. In the UK, call 033-024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310.
Stand up for your right.
Free speech has a home on TNT Radio.
It certainly does, and it certainly has a room for the tribe on chat as well, tntradio.live. Easy, Katie, I smoke roll-ups. Yeah, although no doubt they'll start printing those blooming papers with that soon as well, won't they? So here we go. This is a conundrum that I have, and I need our fugletarian and vegans on the chat. So in a plan to make green energy for fuel, right? So aviation fuel. The plan is to use the fat of pigs. Hence my comment, pigs will fly. The fat of dead pigs, cattle, and chickens is being used to make greener jet fuel. But a new study warns it will end up being worse for the planet. Okay, bloody, bloody, blah. So animal fats are considered waste, great. So aviation fuel made from that material has a much lower carbon footprint. Okay, so good so far for the greenies, because we're going to make aviation fuel from pig fat and cow fat and all of the kind of waste products, so from animal byproducts. And the amount of fuel expected to come from animal byproducts to be put into planes is expected to triple by 2030. Yes, with airlines leading the charge. Now, I've been looking into this, and this is the bit I kind of love, and this is why we need our vegan, and this is why we need our vegetarian. So in order to cross the Atlantic, to do a transatlantic flight, that will take the fat of 8,000 pigs. This is statistically accurate. I haven't just plucked that figure out of my arse, although it does sound that way, and I appreciate that. We currently slaughter 70 billion animals a year. And that's enough fat to run nearly 8 million flights. Worldwide airline takeoffs currently average at around 100,000 flights per day, meaning that each year we'd have enough animal fat to cover a little over 2 months' worth of departures. So as things stand, with the number of animals slaughtered every year, 70 billion, we can cover 2 months worth of flights. And as you will appreciate, if you've got your eyes open, which we have here at the tribe, flights are being culled all the time. People's lives on flights are being made more difficult. The process is being made less comfortable. There's always a delay, always a 12-hour delay. Oh, now your plane isn't flying. Oh, now we're going to hold you at the airport. Now we're going to crucify you when you're trying to get through passport control. We're going to make it so that you don't ever want to fly again. Or in some countries like the Netherlands, they are targeting 20% reduction in flights. They're just going to cull the flights for climate change. So they're going to start using pig fat, or more and more and more pig fats, in order to get these planes in the air. My question to the vegetarians and the vegans, if I can use you as our spokesperson for everybody who's a vegan and a vegetarian, we know that's a crazy idea, but we're going with it because it's fun. Would you fly on a plane that's being flown by pigs? Pigs are now flying. Someone's saying, I think you're telling porkies. As long as there's some pig left for pork scratchings. Oh my God. So basically it's dead pigs flying. Yes, I did slightly mislead you when I told you pigs are flying. It's actually dead pigs that are flying. Someone saying, wow, so much interaction on the chat tonight. That's the point here, guys. We're going to break the chat. I want you, the tribe, and I believe in you. I know you can do it. We're going to break the TNT chat. I want my boss on my phone, whilst the show's going, yelling at me for breaking the chat. I want him to fire me for breaking the TNT chat. That is how we go down, guys, in a ball of flames. So tell me, what will happen? Oh, such a good point. What if you're from the religion of peace? What does it mean for people who are from the religion of peace, who won't go near a pig? What does it mean for airlines of the future? What does it mean for vegans who are being flown by the fat of a pig but don't know it? Would you fly? So I need Ben here. Ben, would you fly if you knew your flight was being powered by the fat of a dead pig? I mean, I don't know why I need to say dead pig, because if it was the fat of an alive pig, I don't think any of us would agree with that, would we? I'd be like those women that go in to have fat pumped from their bodies whilst they're still alive, because they can't be asked to diet, right? So they just go in and have someone pump the fats off them. Oh, God, start harvesting fat. Oh, let's not even think about that. But here's the fun catch, apart from all the other levels of fun, which is that the religion of peace will be flying by pigs. Certain other religions will be flying by pigs. Would they get on the flights if they're fueled by pigs? What does it mean for vegans and vegetarians? What does it mean for Greta Thunberg? But the interesting thing for greenies as well is, of course, greenies typically, and respect the generalization, are people who are vegans or vegetarians that don't believe in harming animals. So how's that going to work? And then here's the real catch. Aviation and the demand for this sort of fuel will inadvertently be responsible for increasing the amount of palm oil being pulled through into European systems. And the increased use of palm oil is linked to rising emissions because old forests get completely destroyed in order to plant these new palm oil forests, because palm oil forests are so much more profitable. So this is where the greenies start to eat their own tail, right? They don't want us to be allowed to fly. In order for us to keep flying, we have to use better fuels. In order to use better fuels, we need to use the fat of pig and cows. But vegans and vegetarians won't like it, presumably, that they're being flown by pigs, and nor will the religion of peace. Liposuction flights are free. I've just had a brilliant genius idea. Katie, will the so-called chemtrails be all curly like a pig's tail? Very, very important question, and one that we need to answer. Where is Ben? I still don't know if Ben would take these flights or not. Ben, we're not hearing from you. We need you to speak up. Liposuction. I've just had a genius idea. What if the Chumbawambas, as part of their commitment to greener travel, the Chumbawambas could get subsidy on the extra seat that they need for their extra stomach and their bingo wings and their Chumbawamba bodies and their thighs that they tend to just liberally smear all over mine when they're encroaching on my seat because their seat isn't big enough. If Chumbawambas offered to have liposuction to fuel the jet across the transatlantic, be good for them. They lose some of their Chumbawamba. Good for the airlines. Free fats. Good for me. They get a cheaper seat. I don't have to sit next to them. You see, this is what I'm saying about the tribe. We are having plans and fixing things. Ben is eating his couscous. I think Ben may have collapsed. Oh, here. Veganism is doing what's practically possible. Medicine derived from animals is considered acceptable if there's no alternatives. Yes, but Ben, my question is, this is the question I want you to answer. Would you fly on a flight powered by pig fat? Would you fly on a flight powered by cow fat? I'm appreciating this comes from dead animals, but they've been killed for meat. So would you fly on a flight powered by pig fat? That's my question, please, to the vegans and vegetarians. I knew it, the Chumbawambas. If we all stop eating meat and become vegans, where will they get their meat byproducts from? Yes, and that's also discussed in the article, which is because people are being increasingly like the brainwashing kids to say you shouldn't eat meat. Meat is bad. You mustn't eat to be one of the cool gang. You must be a vegetarian or a vegan and also preferably be trans. And because you know, so we're getting away from dairy, aren't we? Because you have to have soy or you have to have any of the other ridiculous milks that people drink to prove that they're better people because they're saving the planet by not drinking dairy. Even though my daughter's a dairy farmer and those cows live more comfortably than I do. So if the number of animals that we're going to eat is less, how are we going to get enough byproducts to fly these planes? And of course, all of that answer comes down to how much longer are we going to be allowed to fly for anyway? You know, once aviation is green, who's really going to be allowed to get a ticket from their social credit system to be allowed to fly? And you see the way that these plane flights are going. Business class is full, standard class is empty. They're going to become just planes for just people who are considered the essential business elite, right? But anyway, back to the point. Pigs. Ben, do we have an answer? Would you fly in a plane fueled by pig fat? There'll be room next to a Chumba halfway to the USA. With Chumbawamba fuel. Chumba fuel. Chumba power. I love it. Chumba power. Cows, what about the Hindus? Yes, and maybe future aviation will have to segment the airlines by religion, because the Hindus wouldn't want to fly on planes fueled by cows. Muslims and Jews won't want to fly on planes fueled by pigs. So maybe Chumba fuel is actually, you know, the best way to go. How much water does an almond farm need to use? Not a good thing. Nut milk is a load of nonsense. Yeah, true. This is a different person. I'm a 751 pounds American. What? Pardon? Who? I need two seats. Are you going to give up your armrest? Kidding. I'm 180 pounds, 5'11" and some change. I thought legitimately my brain was doing spinning cartwheels trying to work out what 751 pounds was. I was like, wait a minute, that person is the size of a plane. But it's okay, it was just a little jest. So that was the question. We still don't have an answer. Oh, here we are. In future, flights may have a halal or vegan signs, just like fuel. Yes. Just like food. Yes. But Ben, you still haven't answered my question. Oh, I would fly if no alternative. Okay, that's the official answer from our official vegan representative. If there was no alternative, vegans would get on that plane if there was no other option. Good. Thank you very much, Ben, for clearing it up. There, so fascinating. That was just an itty bitty story about planes of the future and how they're going to fly. And finally, in my top three of today, she says, rapidly getting on to the top three. This is a great story out of the UK. I think you're all really going to enjoy this down with the tribe. Oh, I'm an aircraft engineer and pilot. Animal fat is perfectly fine to make replacement jet fuel. It makes awesome diesel too. Yes, you did answer, Ben. You absolutely did. Yes, good. Thank you for that input. So animal fat is perfectly fine for jet fuel. Yeah. So the message needs to be, if you want to have greener flights, then us decent meat eaters, we need to keep eating. We need to keep chomping down on pigs and cows. Honestly, we need to keep eating meat in order that people can fly more greenly. Yeah. More environmentally friendly. We are doing a service to humanity by eating more meat so that the byproducts can keep the global elite in the air. What a glorious thing. How lovely that these things work themselves out. Here we go with story number three that I think you're going to love. An initiative to tackle racism in policing in England and Wales is facing allegations of racism from some of the ethnic minority staff involved. So in the UK, an initiative to tackle racism in the police is facing allegation of racism. One black person who, so this story isn't all based on one black person. This is why I'm telling you, our representatives here at the tribe, why not? BBC can do it, so why can't we? One black person who asked to remain anonymous told the BBC they believed people like them were being seen as troublemakers or difficult for providing their perspective. This is supposed to be an initiative to tackle racism, and yet this initiative is racist in and of itself. You see, this is what happens if you bow down and you try and please these people. You can never please them. They will never be satiated. You can say that you're putting together an initiative to try and, you know, please people. You can put an initiative about racism, and then what you will get is the same people who always complained won't be happy, and now that they're saying the initiative to tackle racism is racist because no one really listened to them when they were having a massive moan. Which is why I think here at the Tribe we agree we don't bend down, we don't apologize, we don't explain, and frankly we've had enough of that. If you start going down the racism line, you're never going to please anyone, because you can't please any of them because they're unpleasable. And I just want to, just before we hop to a short commercial break, I just want to say this one thing. You'll know I love Novak Djokovic. You'll know I worship the ground that he walks on because he can do no wrong. Who knew that the man who came to save us from sport would be a tennis player? And I mean that respectfully. But so last year, an idiot tennis player, let me spell it out for you, F-U-C, S-O-V-I-C. I'm going to call it Fucsovic, but it's probably Fucsovic. But we'll call him Fucsovic for now. So F-U-C-S-O-V-I-C-S, Fucsovic. He was over at the Australian Open. If you remember, Novak Djokovic was deported unceremoniously just a couple months after me, actually. Fucsovic was critical of Djokovic for not having the vax and said, Djokovic does not belong in Australia. So instead of all of those tennis players working together and saying, if Djokovic doesn't play, we don't play, which would have been the ultimate solidarity, and Djokovic would have had to have been allowed to play, because they all took a knee and took the state injectable, probably up their arse. I threw that in. That's probably not statistically true. And so one of those tennis players came out and says, Djokovic doesn't deserve to be in Australia, doesn't belong here. I mean, it's not very Australian sounding name, is it? Fucsovic. So yesterday at the French Open, Djokovic kicked Fucsovic's ass out of the French Open with a beating that child will never forget. And that is Novak for you through and through. Didn't respond to any of the criticisms, but responded through his tennis and just kicked that man's ass out of the French Open. So I say, we say, thank God for Novak Djokovic. And we'll be back right after this short commercial break to talk more things deep down the coal mine of truth. Go nowhere, good people. My name is Katie Hopkins. This is TNT Radio.
Red alert! The World Health Organization is once again pushing their global pandemic treaty, but some European elected officials are fighting back. You'll want to hear this.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Croatian Member of Parliament Mislav Kolazukak spoke for all freedom-loving citizens of the world when he said the following this week.
It will be healthier and safer for humanity to sign agreement with the Colombian drug cartel. They know all about drugs for sure. During the COVID pandemic, World Health Organization only told lies.
Bravo to this Croatian member of parliament. Bravo! Let's not forget that the World Health Organization is funded by the number one funder, Bill Gates, a close second, the United States government, and the WHO is beholden to China and pushed Chinese-style lockdowns on the world. We cannot live in a world where Bill Gates-funded scientists at the WHO declare global instant lockdowns. We must now start the Great Reject.
This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
What's the last thing you'd like to hear before you die? The voice of a loved one? Your favourite tune? The ocean? For some drivers on the A9, the last thing they ever heard was this. Over half of all deaths on the A9 involve a head-on collision. Think before you overtake. Visit a9road.info.
We're rolling. It is my pleasure to present
Katie Hopkins on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, and we are back, my loves. Thank you for getting so involved in the chat today. It's been brilliant on there. And it's really nice for everybody else to see so many other voices chipping in, chiming in, having a laugh, funny thoughts, thoughts that you have. You know, it's just a nice, it feels like we're in a room, you know, it's like a room of people. It's like being in an old-fashioned boozer where everyone can say what they want and it doesn't matter. And I totally agree. Someone here saying we need to stop categorizing people and things. That's so right, actually, isn't it? You know, we put these labels on, and I know for fun, we have our token this, our token that. But this whole idea of labeling, we know, if anybody knows, Lordy Lord, do we know that labeling was a load of old crap? I mean, I start my shows with like, hands up all the anti-vaxxers, hands up all the conspiracy theorists, because of course, those labels were a load of crap. I mean, it turns out conspiracy theorists were just people that were right all along. Lovely Ben's here saying, Novak is a vegan. Well, there you go. You know, that is all the evidence you need that vegans can be glorious. So my darlings, I want to take us one step deeper down the dark coal mine of truth. You know that yesterday, so way back when we started talking about Bud Light and them going crazy with Dylan Mulvaney and Kid Rock shooting up Bud Light and their sales collapsing. Then we were talking about Target and about how Target had brought out these satanic lines and these crazy lines like gay all day and all the rest of that nonsense. And then yesterday we were talking about so what? Why? Why is this happening? And we were talking about the DEI and the CEI and all of the different initiatives that are being put in by the World Economic Forum. So diversity, equality and inclusion, environmental, societal and government, and corporate equality index, like a load of word salad. But essentially, in order to get points and secure funding from BlackRock or Vanguard, you have to accrue points against these measures, DEI, ESG, CEI. And that's what we talked about yesterday. I just want to play a moment of the clip that we were listening to. I posted it on the chat yesterday for those that were asking and people emailing me for it. Just as a refresher, it was the guy explaining how DEI, ESG all fits together. We'll just hear the front end of this. Have a reminder by listening to this.
There's three initiatives that are put down through the World Economic Forum. One is called CEI, one is called ESG, and one is called DEI. These initiatives are put down as social initiatives from the World Economic Forum, the most powerful people on the planet, through the banks to the big corporations. These corporations, unlike my business, actually depend on that financing 100%. So if they don't do the things that these three initiatives, the CEI, the ESG, and the DEI say, they actually lose their funding, so they can't operate their business. So you say, well, aren't these people smart enough to understand why they're destroying their business? They can't not do it. Because if they don't do it, they won't get their funding. So they can't operate. So they have no choice but to do it. And then they drive their business into the dirt. And here's why that's happening. Because the people who run these companies, the officers of the companies, are not the founders of the companies. These are people that are many generations removed and many degrees of caring about the actual brand removed.
Okay, so this is what we were talking about yesterday. Who think they know a whole bunch of stuff because they haven't. And it was about this gentleman explaining, yeah, the DEI, the ESG, the CEI, and how people had to adhere, large corporates had to adhere to those diktats, because if they didn't adhere to them, they couldn't get their funding. And because these large corporates were now, or these businesses like Target or like Bud Light, for example, Anheuser-Busch, but because the people running them weren't the original founders, they no longer cared. And that's why they were running them into the ground. And of course, it was the middle layer that was harmed the most. So in the case of Bud Light, it was the delivery drivers. It was the guys who weren't serving this stuff anymore. It was the people who depended on being part of the Bud Light's system in order to earn their income. They were the one who were actually punished by Anheuser-Busch conforming to any of these initiatives. So today, I wanted to take us one step further down that dark, dark mineshaft of the so what's and the why, the but why. You know, one of the questions you can keep asking, and when you keep so what, but why, if you keep asking that, you get to a much better place. And it was something I always used to do at Mail Online, articles that people might dismiss as just being nonsense. But if you keep doing the so what, so what, so what, why are people talking about Phil Schofield? Well, it's a big story, da-da-da-da-da, it's a young boy, yeah. But why? Well, because lots of people higher up in the chain were involved. Yeah, but so what? Well, so what? It keeps politicians out of the limelight. But so what? Well, so other things can get put passed under the radar while Phil Schofield, you know, the so what's. So the so what that I wanted to talk about right now with you is a brilliant, brilliant gentleman, Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmenov. And you may have heard of Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmenov. Most recently, interestingly, so in 2020, Bezmenov's 1984 interview discussing active measures was used in a teaser for a video game Call of Duty, Black Ops Cold War, about Russia taking over America, not on the battlefield, but in the American psyche. So this guy, Bezmenov, was a KGB agent. And he fled, he defected to Canada in 1970. And then in 1984, I know, quite the year to choose, he came out and was explaining how, during the Cold War, the Soviet Union created this Committee for State Security, mostly known as the KGB, and how the KGB began this slow process, which they called active measures. When he says it's an excellent thing in Russian, but basically psychological warfare. And he speaks about this ideological subversion. So it happens in the open. It's a legitimate process. It doesn't happen behind closed doors. You can see it. And he explains that what it basically is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite the abundance of information, like despite the abundance of the obvious truth hitting people in the face, no one's able to come to sensible conclusions in the interest of defending themselves or their families or their community or their country. So he describes this as a great brainwashing. And I think for any of us who've just been enduring the last 3 years, this idea of the great brainwashing that Bezmenov spoke of in 1984, so that even, you know, he says that you cannot change their minds even if you expose them to authentic information. They've been programmed, they've been brainwashed. He says, even if you prove that white is white and black is black, you cannot change their minds because they've been brainwashed. And I feel like that so talks to what we've all seen the last 3 years. I want to play you the clip. So this is Bezmenov in the interview in 1984 explaining the four stages of the kind of takeover of a people, these active measures of demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and normalization. Rather than listen to me, take a listen to Bezmenov, the KGB agent, explaining exactly how this process works.
What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interest of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The result you can see, most of the people who graduated in the 60s, dropouts or half-baked intellectuals, are now occupying the positions of power in the government, civil service, business, mass media, educational system. You are stuck with them. You cannot get rid of them. They are contaminated. They are programmed to think and react to certain stimuli in a certain pattern. You cannot change their mind, even if you expose them to authentic information, even if you prove that white is white and black is black, you still cannot change the basic perception and the logic of behavior. In other words, these people, the process of demoralization is complete and irreversible. To get rid society of these people, you need another 20 or 15 years to educate a new generation of patriotically minded and common sense people who would be acting in favor and in the interests of the United States society.
There's so much hope in that last comment he makes. To get rid of this threat to your freedoms, you need to be raising a new generation of patriotically minded individuals willing to stand up for their family and willing to stand up for their country. And I can't help but, I hear all the darkness in that clip, but I can't help but hold on to that last bit where he says, in order to overturn this, you need a new generation. And then I think of last night and the 16-year-old, I won't say child because he was a young man, the 16-year-old, 6'2" young man who stood up and faced 250 grown-ass adults and crusty bearded people and said, I know I'm not alone. I know I'm many. And I know that we are following you guys and we're ready. So for me, in real time, I'm getting to see that this new generation, this patriotic generation, these people like in Italy under Meloni, and this generation of young people who have seen and understand and already know that it is going to come to them to pick up the batons from us. There's just this, the way he speaks, Bezmenov, I just think it basically distills our last 3 years. So he says later in the interview, a person who is demoralized. So demoralizing is the process that we were put through, we would argue, perhaps others have argued, I don't know, but lockdown, a process of demoralization so that you lose all sense of what is up and what is down and what is left and what is right. And Bezmenov says from the KGB, a person who is demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him a concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he receives a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragedy of the situation of demoralization. And isn't that what we've all felt? Isn't that what we've felt? How can they not see? How can they not see? We're presenting the facts. Doctors are presenting the facts. A lady whose husband died 5 days after AstraZeneca. How can they not see? And this is where Bezmenov explains so perfectly and so clearly, way back in 1984, so clearly that if you effect a program of active measures and you demoralize people effectively with psychological program, it doesn't matter what you show them. They refuse to believe you until they are the ones being crushed. And of course, that's what so many of us have seen every day, is that people would rather self-preserve for just one more day than stand with people who they've known as friends or family or allies or even partners all their lives. They would rather self-preserve for one more day. I told you, didn't I? I told you we were going down the dark hole. I told you. The tribe is coming together. People saying the tribe needs to come together. We are coming together. We are. And if you want to look up more on Bezmenov, there's a great, all of that interview that he did in 1984 is out there. He went on in Canada to have a radio show of his own And then, would you believe, Pierre Trudeau, the father of Justin Trudeau, multimillionaire, was given a call by someone inside of Russia, and Pierre Trudeau interjected and got Bezmenov removed from the airways in Canada. The circles of life, I tell you, are smaller and smaller, but we do not leave in darkness. We leave on an upbeat note, which is that my father just donated his 100th pint of blood. Yes, he did. And I need to tell you that because I feel proud of the man. It takes 3 decades to do that, and he's bloody well done it. So well done, my dad. Loves, on the road in Bath tomorrow at the Better Way conference with the big boss man, Mike Ryan, and the boys. So I will see you on the road tomorrow, live from Bath and the Better Way conference. Until then, stay with TNT Radio. My name is Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.